Matthew chapter 4, I begin in verse 1. I'm just going to read down to verse 4 tonight. Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread. But he answered and said, It is written, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now our text is going to be verse 4, and really that's the verse we're going to stay in. We may look at one or two other verses. But really, we're just going to look at verse 4 and draw some application from it, especially what Jesus said there. He said, Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Now, we've taught on the Word of God. We've taught on the King James Bible at different times. There's a CD on the back table. I think it's titled, Why We Believe in Inspiration and Preservation. We've covered some different ground at different times. But here we're just going to look at verse 4 and just kind of give you an understanding of really biblically why I stand and why I have no inkling of changing my stand on the King James Bible. So let me deal with the obvious so that I'm not misunderstood, or I don't want you sitting there guessing like, you know, what does he think? So let me just come out and tell you, I believe that this book here, the King James Bible, is the Word of God. That's what I believe. I believe this is the Word of God. It doesn't contain the Word of God. It isn't some of the Word of God. It is the Word of God. It isn't, now listen, it isn't the best translation. It isn't my preferred translation. It is the Word of God. Sometimes you got to watch what people say, because they'll say, well, you know, I'm a King James person. That's the best translation. Well, what does that mean? What that means is that they're really not King James. What they mean is, I don't want to create waves, so I'll use the Bible you want me to use. That's usually what it means. But that's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying I'm going along with the crowd. I'm saying this is what I believe. This is where I stand. I believe this book here, the King James Bible, is the Word of God. Now let me push it a little bit further. So again, so you're not wondering. When I look at any other translation, any other version, I'd never say that about them. I do not believe any other version or any other translation is the Word of God. It may contain the Word of God. It may have parts of the Word of God, some more, some less, depending on the translation and the version. But that's not how I look at the King James Bible. This is the Word of God. So I believe when I hold up my Bible and I'm talking about it, I believe that this book here, the King James Bible, it is the inspired, the preserved, the inerrant, the infallible, the eternal Word of God. Now, our church organizationally is a King James Bible church. That's the kind of church we are. Assuming you know that by now, I think I'm preaching in a friendly crowd, not a hostile crowd. I'll find out when the songbooks come flying, I guess. But our church organizationally is a King James Bible church. In that, this is what it means. This is the only one that can be used in any of the ministries of our church. We don't give people liberty to use the version they want. We don't say, well, you know, our preferred one is the King James, but you use... No. This is the only one that's used here at Grace Baptist Church. You don't get a preference. You don't get liberty. If you want to use something else, then you need, I mean this kindly, but I mean it clearly, then you need to go where that's accepted, because it's not accepted here. We are a King James Bible church. We don't make apology. We're not trying to get along. We're not trying to find common ground. We just want to be clear that this is where we stand. Now, I can't control what people do at their house. They have soul liberty. I believe in the priesthood of the believer. I can't tell you that everyone in our church uses King James at home. I have no idea. I'm not going to your house and look through your bookcase and see what kind of Bibles you got. That's not my job. That's not what I'm going to do. But I can control. So I can't control what you read at home, but I can control what's used here at the church, and what's used here at the church will be the King James Bible. Now, I think most of our people who make up Grace Baptist Church are King James Bible people. Either you are, or you are okay with me being, because you don't seem to give me much fuss about it. So I think most of our people who make up Grace Baptist Church are King James Bible people. But it could be that some are not. They're just, you know, well, why make waves? I like the way Brother Choma leads singing, so I'll put up with Pastor White's stand on the King James. It could be, I don't know. But regardless, that we still, this is what we are as a church, and I think really majority, maybe a high majority of our people are King James Bible people. But even though that being true, I'm not sure if everyone who is, if I would come around the room and I would ask you, what do you believe that this book here, the King James Bible, is the Word of God? And you say, oh yes, Pastor White, I'm right there with you. Good. But I don't know if everyone who would agree with that really understands or really knows why they're King James Bible. Because some people say, well, that's just what our church uses. That's what I've always had. That's what my mom used. That's what my dad used. That's what my grandparents used. That's just all the ones I got, so that's what I am. Well, that's really not a King James Bible person. You're just going along with the crowd. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about knowing why and being well grounded in that belief. Why do we take a hard stand? Why can't we just get along with everyone? And why do we got to make a beef about this? Bill, there's a reason why I take a firm stand on the King James Bible. So I want us to avoid the ditch of compromise, where we get to a point where someone stands up and says, well, you know, this, here's how, this is to me, it's kind of funny how people say it this way. This version, something other than the King James, is almost like the King James. Then my answer is, then why not use the King James? Because watch this. This is mind blowing. The King James is exactly like the King James. So why not use the King James? Why are you looking for something that's close? Why are you looking for 95% King James when you can have 100%? Right here it is. So I want us to avoid the ditch of compromise, but also I want us to avoid the ditch of extremism. There's some people who they claim they're King James, but they're not. They just like to fuss and fight with people. And the things that they're saying about the King James is not true. And I've given you several, but I'll just give you, this is probably the most common goofy thing that people says, that people say about the King James. And it's kind of died down, but it'll come up because the past is a good determiner of the future. Just watch what happened in the past. It's going to come back around, big old circle of life. But they'll say something like this. Well, unless someone led you to the Lord with a King James Bible, you're not really saved. And my answer is, in 1610, what happened? How about 1609? How about 1608, 1607, 1606? What happened when the Apostle Paul was witnessing to people? He didn't use a King James Bible. So it's the truth of the gospel that saves us. So I'm not trying to get into some weird extremism, but I do believe very firmly the King James Bible is the Word of God, and that's where we need to understand why do we take a strong stand on that. Now, I'm going to give you something in a nutshell, because we could get into some deep in the weeds on this one, and that's not my goal tonight, and I think we'd probably get lost in the weeds and be wandering around for a long time, so that's not my goal either. So in a nutshell, let me give you kind of a historical, maybe a little bit more historical background. I'm going to be very quick about it, but just so you understand, in case this speaks to you or you want some information along this way. In a nutshell, and I'm being very, very simplistic in this, there are two major manuscript sources. One being what we call the, again, I'm being overly simplistic, so don't crucify me if you are a scholar along this line. Okay, there is the what we call the majority text, and there is what we call the Alexandrian text. The King James Bible comes from the majority text, dealing with the Greek text and all that. There's really not much argument about the Hebrew and the Old Testament. All the fussing and fighting is the Greek and the New Testament. So you have the majority text where we get the King James, and you have the Alexandrian text where most, if not all, the other versions come from. Now, we as King James people have a problem, some major issues with that text itself. And I'm not debating that. I'm not disagreeing with that. I'm not denying that. I'm not just ignoring that. I accept that is a problem. The whole source manuscript is a problem. But that's not the direction we're going. I'm looking more at scripture than the historical part of it. Now, when you think about the King James Bible and the majority text and how we got what we have today, there is 47 plus translators. And there's a reason we say plus. There could have been as many as 60. There was 54 on the list, 47 that we have another list that actually seemed to do the work. There are some that did some of the work that kind of checked in, checked out at different times. But 47 plus, that's a good estimate, maybe as high as 60. So there's 47 plus translators of the King James Bible. Now, I want you to understand this. I'm just giving it to you in a very, very brief way. But these translators of the King James Bible, here's what I want you to understand. They were brilliant. I mean, they were super, super, super smart people. Now, I'm driving home that on purpose. One of the translators, I'm just give you a couple examples. One translator, now watch this, learned a new language each year during his Easter break at Cambridge. Cambridge being his university. A little different Easter break back in those days. He learned a new language. He eventually spoke. Now, I say learned a new language, I don't mean he read a book. He didn't like take the Rosetta Stone tapes and listen to them. Okay? He learned a language. He eventually spoke. Now, when you can speak the language, you know it pretty well, right? He eventually spoke Latin, Greek, Hebrew, Chaldee, Syriac, Arabic, and 15 other languages. That was one of the translators. This guy was very smart. Okay? I'll give you another example of another translator. One translator, now watch this, and this is, okay, I'm not making up. This is historically known facts here. One translator read through the Hebrew Bible by age 5. Think about that. Age 5. By age 6, he was writing Hebrew legibly. At age 6, we have a hard time writing our name, don't we? He is writing Hebrew legibly. I mean, this guy was, it's hard to fathom how smart these guys was. Now, let me give you, this is still the second translator. Now, that is astounding. Here's what's more astounding. He committed the entire, now if I told you this, if I told you that here's this guy here and he has the entire New Testament, he has committed to memory. Wouldn't that be amazing? This translator committed the entire Greek New Testament to memory. Now, these are English-speaking people. The entire Greek New Testament. He didn't just know Greek. He had memorized. He could tell you exactly what the Bible said in the Greek. Now, this is an amazing thing if you think. These guys are uber-brilliant people. Now, in addition to that, these translators are known as a group for their holiness, for their dedication to the Lord, dedication to the ministry, and their doctrinal purity. These just weren't a bunch of smart people, like we think about maybe college guys who, professors who, you know, bunch of liberals. These were uber smart people who loved the Lord, served the Lord, and was faithful to the Lord. Now, this is from this group and from their work we have now the King James Bible. But here's why I'm telling you all that. Now, let me just stop and say, I brought these just as a object lesson. Now, here's why I'm telling you that, because a lot of the people who fuss over the King James, here's what they got. This is an Englishman's Greek New Testament. I got this back in my college days. This is an analytical Greek lexicon revised 1978 edition. I got that back in my college days. Now, I can go to this version of the Greek manuscript, which is interesting in itself. There's more than one version of the Greek manuscript. So anyways, I can go to this version of the Greek manuscript. I can look up the word that this has for the Greek. I can go to this book. I can look it up. I know some of the word endings. I had a year of Greek in college. Impressive, isn't it? And so I can tell you what this says about that word. And that's more than what most people arguing about the King James know. Let me tell you. And in what that means I'm like, a preschooler who's still picking their nose, doing watercolor compared to these uber brilliant people. I don't even come close to how smart these people were. But yet people who know less than what I'm telling you about, they couldn't even take the Greek New Testament and the lexicon and even find out what the word means. They want to argue about why the King James is wrong and why you can't trust it and why they'll say, well, you know, that word should be this. Really? Why do you think that? Let me tell you why you think that. Because you listened to someone who told you that. You're polyparroting some other goofy guy who's polyparroting some other goofy guy. But yet these guys are uber smart. The translators didn't just, well, here's what we've always heard. No, they knew this. They studied this. These were just uber smart people. Now, let me give you a couple of things to write down. My stand on the King James Bible, it's the KJB. Usually you'll see KJV, but I like KJB, King James Bible. My stand on the King James Bible is not based, though, on the manuscript evidence or the translator's testimony. Even though that's impressive, but that's not why I stand on King James. I don't say, well, I believe in the majority text and these guys are smart. Because my faith and confidence is not in man. I recognize it. I'm enthralled by it that these guys, I mean, reading Hebrew at 5, committing the entire Greek New Testament to memory, I'm just, wow. So my stand is not based on that. Rather, it is based on my stand on the Word of God that carries over to the King James Bible. What I believe about the Bible forces me to take a stand on the King James. Which is my next point. My stand on the Word of God requires me to take a stand on the King James Bible. Now, I want you to think carefully. If I believe that the Bible is inspired, preserved, infallible, inerrant, eternal, here's the question. Which Bible? Because they all don't say the same thing. So if I really believe that about the Bible, then I have to take a stand on something that lines up with what I'm saying about the Bible. So when I think, in fact, let's go back to Matthew 4:4. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by what? Every word. And that's my whole point. I need every word. And that's really how we're going to go in the Bible study here in a moment. So when I stand on the King James is this. I start with the Bible and move to the King James. I don't start with the King James and then try to figure out what the Bible says. I say, no, this is what the Bible teaches. That now requires me to take a stand somewhere, and I'm chosen by the best I can understand, by the best my faith allows me to take a stand on the King James. So what then, how does standing on the Word of God bring me to the King James? Well, I'm glad you asked, because that's my whole study here. Number one, God wants me to, and now this is all based on Matthew 4:4. God wants me to live by every word that He has spoken. How do I know that? Man shall live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's how I'm supposed to live, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So God wants me to live by every word that He has spoken. This is what the Lord wants. Now, on a practical side, I should never discard or ignore any part of the Bible. Not all of the Bible is easy to understand. You know, if you read, I can think of the guy, Ezekiel. Ezekiel starts out pretty okay. And then he talks about these wheels and the wheels inside the wheels. And then the angels. And pretty soon I'm thinking, I have no idea. I'm trying to picture this. I might do a little Google search, which sometimes doesn't help at all. And I'm trying to understand. I do some cross-referencing. And typically when I read through Ezekiel, here's what I say. I believe it. I'm not sure if I understand it, but I believe it. God said it. I believe it. And Lord, help me understand it, because it's a little difficult. And there's other places. You go to Leviticus. Leviticus and Hebrews. I mean, they can get a little wordy, a little, what exactly? Because I'm not Jewish. I don't understand all the festivals and feasts and sacrifices. If I was a Jew and I read that, I'd probably say, well, that makes total sense. I'm not. I don't have a Jewish background. So I'm trying to do some study. Well, what exactly does that mean? And how can I understand this and apply this? So even though there are parts of the Bible that are difficult, even though there are parts of the Bible that are not easy to understand, I should never ignore or discredit. I can't simply say, I'm skipping that book. Well, what about all those words? The Bible says, man shall live by bread alone, but by every word. I need those words too. So I need every word of the Word of God. So I'm going to make a statement here, a little play on 1 Corinthians 12. The uncomely parts of the Bible are as needed as the ones on which we bestow more honor. I mean, everyone loves John 3:16. Everyone loves Psalms 23. But the other parts of the Bible are just as important, because we need every word. Now, I can have my favorite stories, I can have my favorite verses, but no part of the Bible should I just eliminate and say, well, and some people do that. They go, whatever. Turn a few pages and then start again. But there's things on there that you need. Everything is important. Every word is needed. Now, what does that mean then? That means this. This requires every believer to read every word that is in the Bible. I'll say it again. every believer ought to read every word. Every believer ought to read every word. My question for you tonight is this. Have you done that? Have you actually, can you sit here and, now don't raise your hand. I'm not looking for an outward response. You can answer to yourself. Have you read the entire Bible through, starting in Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 22, which I'm not sure the very last verse number, but the end of Revelation 22. Have you read the entire Bible through? Have you read every word? That's your responsibility as a believer to read every word. And there should be a time. Now, some people do it every year. Some people do it every, like, 3 years. I can't tell you. I think the more you do it, the better you are. I can't tell you. There's not a formula that says you must do it every year. That's probably a great goal to have. But that should be done at least once in your Christian life. And it should be done multiple times in your Christian life. And let me just ask you this. Do you believe that the Bible is God's Word? But how can you say it if you've never read it? Don't polyparrot me. You better read it for yourself. Ask the Lord to speak to your heart. Convince you. Bring you to that point of faith. So this requires every believer to read every word that is in the Bible. We've got to read through it all, not skipping over the parts that we don't like, but read it all. This also, and let me just back up, because I'm not trying to be too unthoughtful. Some people really have some issues with reading comprehension. And some people say that and that's their excuse, but some people it's true. If that was me, here's what I'd do. I would get some type of, you can get it online for free. I would get the MP3s, let it play, and follow along as it was speaking. Okay? That way the words and just try to keep up with it. Because between listening and following along, I'm going to get every word. Obviously, you want to make sure you download King James versions of the MP3s. But anyways, every word needs to be read by every believer. Now, this also requires, so at this point, but what does that do with the King James? Well, this also requires every believer to have a copy of the Bible that has every word in it. If I'm going to read every word, I got to have every word. How can I read every word if I don't have, first of all, I need to read every word. But then I got to say, okay, where is every word? There's got to be some place I can go to have every word that comes out of the mouth of God. Where would that be? Well, that should be the Bible. Well, then what Bible? So I cannot read every word if my Bible has removed or changed the words. Did you know that there are versions that have taken out complete verses? They say, well, that doesn't belong in there. Says who? Says you who has this book here and this book here and that's all you got and you're telling me what verses should be in the Bible? Really? So these guys who committed the Greek New Testament to memory, what was too dumb to figure out that verse shouldn't be there, but you who don't have much knowledge at all can tell me what verses shouldn't be in the Bible? So I cannot read every word if my Bible isn't removed or changed the words. Now, make a statement here that gets me in trouble. Okay? This gets me in trouble on both sides. It's like, the people who are King James, the people who aren't King James, I'm kind of in the middle and they both are throwing rotten tomatoes, rocks, whatever else at me. Okay? If it isn't the King James, so I need a Bible, I need a book, the Word of God that has every word in it. Now, I believe that the King James Bible has every word of the Word of God. But here's my challenge. If it isn't the King James Bible, then which one is it? Now, if someone were to hold up, let's say we'll use the NIV, that's a popular one. If someone were to hold up the NIV and say, this is the Word of God, there's nothing extra, there's nothing missing. It is the inspired, preserved, infallible, inerrant, eternal Word of God. I base my faith on it, I trust it, this is the Word of God. I would not agree with them, but I would respect their stance. At least they took a stand. I don't agree with it, but I respect they take a stand, because usually when people... When I get in a discussion of the King James with someone who's not King James, they want to tell me all the reasons why the King James can't be, it's just a translation, blah, 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 blah. Okay, all the things I've heard for years. So here's usually what I ask them. Then which one is the Word of God? Okay, if it isn't this one, tell me which one it is, because that's what I want to know. Well, and they never tell me. Because that's not the issue. All they want to do is attack my stance. They don't have a stance. And that's really what the problem is. And I've asked someone that, and they said, well, you know, I think they said, well, I mostly believe the ASV, the American Standard Version. I said, is it every word the word of God? Well, I don't know if every word. Okay, well, that's not what I'm asking. Where is every word of the word of God? And the truth is, the Bible tells us we're supposed to have every word of the word of God. And so I need an every word Bible if that's how I'm going to build my life and go forward in my Christian life. Now, let me move on to point two. See, that wasn't that controversial. No one threw a songbook. But there are people who say, well, you should never respect them. Well, I don't respect the position in that. I'm not NIV or whatever version, but I respect at least they chose to take a stand on something, because 99% of them don't take a stand on anything. They'll say, well, you know, you got to take all the versions and compare them. Really? Now think what that means. How many versions are there? Anyone know? 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 10, 20, 50, 100? Imagine if you read John 3:16 100 different versions. You would get to version about 7 or 8 and say, well, wait a minute. What was version 3 again? Oh, yeah, that was it. And I'm on, okay, let's start at 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Oh, what was number 9 again? Oh, and I'm on 13. How would you ever study the Bible if that was true? You can never study the Bible that way. You can never build your life on the Bible that way. Isn't it so much better to say, here's what the Bible says, let's believe it, let's put it in practice in our life, I have every word right here. And then what happens to the version that they come up with next year, and then the next version. And ultimately, let me tell you this, when I look at, let's say there's 20 versions. If I look at 20 versions and I decide what it should say, who's really the basis of my faith? Me. I'm deciding. Isn't it a whole lot better to say, this is what the Bible says, I don't care what I think, I don't care what you think. Here's what the Bible says. Let God be true, every man a liar. So big number two. So God wants me to live by every word that he has spoken. Number two is similar to it, slightly different though. In the words of Larry Sellers, same thing but only different. The words I live by are the ones that came from God's mouth. Now we're going to, it seems like I'm saying the same thing, but we're going to go a different direction. The words I live by, So I need every word to live now, but the words that I live by, these every words, are the words that came from God's mouth. So I'm not to build my faith on man's words or traditions, but rather on the very words that God spoke. I can benefit from men's advice, I can learn from men's advice, but I'm to live by God's word. Now, go back with me to Matthew 4:4. Notice what it says, by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. These words that he's talking about comes from where? God's mouth. He speaks them. Well, we have a word for that. We call that word inspiration, God's breath, God's spoken word. So this means I need a Bible that is inspired, not just translated from inspired words. Well, you know, here's a problem. God inspired the originals. First of all, that whole statement is wrong, and I'll tell you why in a moment. God inspired, not that he didn't inspire them, but what they're claiming are the originals are wrong. God inspired the originals, but all of those are gone, so all we have is copies of 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 copies, and that's what we have today, so we really don't have the inspired word of God. Then how can I live by every word that comes out of his mouth if I don't have every word that came out of his mouth? Now I got another problem again. Let me go back to the back statement over here. Do you know that the originals are not on earth and have never been on earth? Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. The original is in heaven. Everything has always been a copy. Just like God could take his word from heaven and give it to man perfectly, could not a God who speaks a universe into existence, do you not think he could be a part of the preservation process here? So this means I need a Bible that is inspired, not just translated from inspired words, but I need the actual inspired words of God to build my life on. So a Bible that gives me a paraphrase or a rephrase does not give me the words that I need to live by. I don't want to know, well, it kind of says this, it kind of means this. No, just give me the words. I can use a dictionary. I can ask some people. I can figure out what some of these meanings of the words is. Don't change it. Now, I'm trying not to go on tangents, but this is hard not to. You know, one of the things they tell us is this. All we're going to do is give you a version. We're not going to change anything. We're just going to give you, like, the word conversation is actually the word behavior. Things like that. We're just going to give you the updated words. And every time they take verses out, they switch words around, they take words out, they write it in a way that kind of sometimes de-emphasizes certain things. They make all these other changes with the excuse of we're just changing a word here or there. But they have, a different agenda. So a Bible that gives me a paraphrase or a rephrase does not give me the words that I need. I want every word that came from God's mouth. So what I need is a Bible that has preserved God's word so that they are as inspired as first given. Now, I don't believe that God spoke to the translators. I do believe God spoke to Isaiah and all the original authors, human authors. But I believe through His divine intervention, He has preserved this word to us. And He has preserved it perfectly in the King James Bible. Let me show you one more verse. Probably a famous verse about this. Go with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. And chapter 3. Probably already know where I'm going with it. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look with me in verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, coming out of the mouth of God, and is profitable. Now notice, the Scripture that is inspired is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, matured in their faith, that's the idea, throughly furnished in all good works. So this inspired Scripture is what is needed if I'm going to be profited by it and matured by it. So only a Bible that has God's preserved, inspired words is profitable and matures our faith. So we have God's word preserved for us. It's preserved in as it was given, even though I understand it was given in Hebrew and Greek, but it, through divine intervention, preserved so it is as inspired as they were. That inspiration has been preserved to us. Now, let me give you the third thought about this. If you go back to Matthew 4:4, man shall live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Let's look at it one more time. We're going to say it again, slightly different. Number three is this. It is my desire to live by God's word. That desire. So it is my desire to live by God's word that motivates my desire for every word. The more I want to live for Jesus, man shall live by bread alone, but by every word. The more I want to live for Him, the more I say, I want those words. I need those words. I want to live what He told me to live. My motivation to obey, my motivation to follow Him, motivates also my desire to have every word. That's why I said I start with the Bible and move to, okay, well, what is the Bible? Now, I'll be honest with you. If I was totally convinced tonight that the ESV or the RSV, or whatever, I can't think of all the HCB, they have all kinds of alphabet initials there. If I was convinced one of those had every word, then I would tell you, folks, this ESV here is God's word. Build your life on it. But I don't believe that. I don't believe it because of the text it came from. I don't believe it because of the changes that happened in it, so forth and so on. But if I want to live, and I want to encourage others to live by God's word, to be profited and matured by them, then it's my obligation to tell you this is what I believe is God's word, the King James Bible. Just don't pick up anyone, because they all don't say the same thing. Find the one that has every word in it. So the purpose of taking a stand on the inspired, preserved, inerrant, infallible, eternal word of God is because we want to build our lives on the Word of God. We're not just looking for a fight. We had said earlier, you know, a contemporary issue, and we could list a whole bunch of things that we fuss about. But we're not just looking for something to fuss with people about. We're looking to build our lives on the Word of God. And the Word of God is something worth fighting about. Now let me give you a little jab, okay? If one is not going to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, then one has no reason to worry if he has every word. Right? Or put it this way. There is no reason to fuss over what Bible you're going to ignore or disobey. I mean, if you're not going to do what the Bible says, why are you fussing with people about it? You know, you don't read it. You don't pray. You're not trying to live holy. You have no desire to witness to anyone. You're greedy and selfish. You're mean. You're bigoted. But you want to fight with people over the King James. Why? Let me tell you why. Because you like to fight. That's why. But if I really am wanting to live the Bible, now I have a reason to fuss with people because I want to live the Bible. So the more serious I become about wanting to live the Bible, then the more serious I become over what Bible will determine how I'm going to live. Now I know we've just scratched the surface of the whole issue here, and I'm not in any way denying that. But the thing I'm trying to get across tonight is, I'm not starting with the King James. I'm starting with the Bible. Jesus said, man shall live by bread alone, but by every word. Now that is what propels me to come to a decision about, well, what has every word on it, in it. They all don't say the same thing. There's some that have entire verses missing. Sometimes half a verse is missing. Sometimes words missing. Well, let me tell you, if it has verse missing, it doesn't have every word, does it? So ultimately, it is my desire to have an every word copy of the Word of God that determines my decision to stand on the King James Bible. And when you do that, I'm going to tell you, you get a lot of flack from other believers. Now, let me tell you something surprising about it. One, which I expect, people who don't believe that the King James Bible is the Word of God. And I say to them, well, what is? Well, you know, you can't just point to one. Then what am I going to do about how am I going to live every word? Well, you know, that's not really what the Bible's meaning. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word. I don't know. How do you get a different meaning? That's pretty clear cut to me. That's a good question. Maybe they do. Maybe that's the verse they take out. They're like, I never thought about that. Maybe that's the verse that's missing. They just like, we'll take that out. Now they can't say anything. Now, I was going somewhere too, but now I forget. That was a good point. No, that's great. That's a great point. I'm going to look that up now. So anyways, it's ultimately my desire to have that that determines my decision. So it's getting flack. Thank you. So you get flack from one side. I expect that. Okay. There's a guy. I like the guy. He's a good guy, but he's always sending me, I shouldn't say always, on a regular basis, every few months, he'll send me something that's against the King James. Have you saw this? Have you heard this? It's like, yes. The arguments are a lot older than either one of us. They predate us. There's no new arguments. It's the same arguments that keep being rehashed. But you know, I get a flack on the other side, on the King James side, because I won't get in some of the goofy things that they want me to get into. And actually, I've been accused, and this is funny, two things I've been accused of that's humorous to me. Number one, that I don't believe in soul winning. Number two, that I don't believe in the King James. It's like, I don't know how to be clearer. I only know English. I'm not like the guy who has memorized the Greek New Testament. I only know English. Okay? I've been I kind of preach about soul winning. Somewhere along the line, we tend to talk about soul winning. And I think I'm pretty clear that this is where I stand. That's the only one. There's no other. I'm not in the New King James. I'm not into any other version, any other translation. It's the King James Bible and that alone. But my motivation is because I believe what the Bible says. We need every word of the Word of God. So now I'm not discounting. Let me just give you two quick statements. I'm not discounting or detracting from the historical evidence. I'm not trying to do that. There is some great things there. If you're really into it, there's all kinds of books. Studying the translators can be kind of just eye-opening. Really, just these guys were, they love the Lord, they're faithful to the Lord, and uber smart. It is thought that in the 1600s, English was kind of, had English somewhat has evolved from other languages in the country itself. I don't get into all the history, but English has kind of risen to like a peak time there, and it was just really a, and people had really began studying and learning. It was just kind of a high time there, and just kind of interesting to study. I'm not discounting, I'm not detracting that. Okay, I understand some of those things. I've read some of those things. I'm no way an expert on it. But there's always a but, isn't it? But like all other stands that we take, it comes down to faith more than fact. If you're waiting to see it before you believe it, then you're not walking by faith. Now, there's some things we can see. We can study their lives and things. But this is not about you coming to having every fact. This is coming to, this is what the Bible says, man shall live alone but by every word. Okay, let's do some study and let's come up to this. And to me, it's really not a hard thing when in your studying really to come to. It's rather simple, but nonetheless, I think you ought to study and you ought to come to your own understanding and willingness to stand firmly on the King James Bible.